So Owen had said, I'm Carlos. I serve at the Church of Rafal, and it is a total pleasure to be with with you. So receive the greetings and hugs from our church, and hoping that the Lord will help me in the delivery, and that the Holy Spirit will apply the message into our hearts. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you because we can open your word and we can listen your word. Please, Holy Spirit, apply the preaching word today into our hearts. We need you, Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you been in a desperate state for some time? When we are like that, we do things we never considered, isn't it? Consider for one moment today, if you were in a desperate state and one day you will have the opportunity of being free of that state, what will you do in order to get it? Let us open our Bible and let us go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We will read from verse 35 to verse 43. It says, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. The Gospel of Luke is the story of Jesus going to Jerusalem to die. Jesus must complete his mission. He has come to die. And in the Gospel of Luke, three times, Jesus said that he must suffer. Chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Chapter 9, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. And the third time, in chapter 18, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that it is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, for he will be delivered over the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamed, treated and spit upon. So Jesus is going to his mission. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. But when he was on the way, something happened. A cry. A blind man interposes on his way. What this man wanted? What will do Jesus for him? That's what we will see today. But look how verse 34 ends. But they understood none of these things, the disciples. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. In other words, they were spiritually blind. Interestingly, we have the story of this blind man who is physically blind, but that sees more than a lot of people. I think here there are a lot of things that we could learn. So in order to study this text, we will have 3 points, okay? My first point is the cry, the second is the answer, and the third one is the goal. So let me begin with my first point, the cry. The text tells us that Jesus was going near Jericho. And on the road, verse 35, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Who knows how long this blind man was there? Who knows when this man became blind? From birth? Since he was a teenager? We don't know. We only can be sure that he was blind at that point. Think of how it is to be blind. You saw nothing. You closed your eyes in sleeping, you saw darkness there. You raise up, and you saw darkness. You are doing a lot of things on the day, but you see nothing but darkness. Surely this was, and it is, a difficult state. Can't you imagine that? Today, thanks to the Lord, we have helps from different places. We have economic helps, and schools even that teach how to read with the hands. That's amazing. And surely, it is not easy, that state. But we have some help and development on that topic. But let us live for one moment in first century Israel. If you were blind, what could you do? We know at least that some people thought that if you were blind, that might be because God was punishing you. The blind man of our story lived begging for alms. He was waiting for alms on the road. To be in that situation was a desperate one. It seems that he did not know about the coming of Jesus. It seems that he was doing what he normally did every day. So at some point of the day, people began to make a lot of noise. Look at verse 36 and 37. And hearing a crowd, he heard a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's it. He surely has heard something of Jesus. He's blind, but he's not deaf. He knew about Jesus. He had heard about him. At this point, Jesus was not an unknown figure. He was a very well-known man. His miracles and his words were spread quickly over the region. It seems that the things that Jesus said and his miracles were the things that the blind man heard. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one who could help him. He was his only hope. So now, that Jesus is passing by on his road. That's it. The opportunity of his life. Surely, he will not dismiss that opportunity. No matter which is the cost. But he must have the attention of Jesus. So he begins to cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Why those words? Why Son of David? As maybe you know, this title was a royal title. It was the title for the Messiah, the promised king that the Jews were waiting to come. God in the Old Testament had promised that in the future, a man from the line of David will come, and he will be the king. He will rescue. He will govern. He will rule over the whole world. This was the Messiah. This was the Son of David. So this blind man is recognizing that Jesus is the promised one. He is the king. And this is an incredible act of faith. Because he did not see Jesus. He only needed to hear about him. But oh, people began to say to him, shh, be silent, man. And those who were in front rebuke him, says the text. You are making a scene. Be silent, please. The master is busy. Can you stop? The master is in other business. He is going to Jerusalem. But because his only hope was Jesus, he cried more than before and said again, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think sometimes we can be like the people who rebuke this man. Imagine this scene for a moment. The man is crying to Jesus. And we said to him, be silent, man. And after that, Jesus said to us, broke that man. So we have to go ashamed and to bring the man that we were rebuking. What's the point of this? The point is that sometimes we could be barriers for people who want to go to Jesus. Have you thought about that? Maybe your attitude, maybe your works, maybe other things could be barriers for people in order to bring them to Christ. Before this passage, we have another example of this type of attitude. The children were approaching to Jesus, and the disciples saw that and rebuked them. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Wow. But what said Jesus? Let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Dear brothers, whatever we do, let us never hinder people from Christ. Yes, we must be prudent and wise in our dealings with people, of course. Surely we must not accept everything, but at least let us not hinder Christ from them. Christ has come into the world. He has come for sinners, so he could also save my neighbor, isn't it? But despite the opposition, this blind man cried more. He was desperate. And we can learn a lot of things here, but let me emphasize on this one. We learn the necessity of crying and seeking Jesus despite opposition. Are you searching for Jesus with a humble heart? Maybe are you praying and you do not see answers, and maybe you are discouraged because of that? A lot of mystery involves our approaching to Jesus. However, let me encourage you to do what this man did. Seek and seek and seek Jesus. Persevere and persevere, no matter how many rebukes you have. Cry to Jesus, beg to Jesus, follow Jesus. Don't be discouraged. The Lord wants us to persevere in faith in our seeking of Jesus and in our prayers, in our duties, in whatever we do. He's sovereign, yes. He does whatever he wants, yes. But he has said to us, plead and you will receive. Do you remember that scene when the Lord talks about that widow and an unjust judge? He said that there was an unjust judge and that there was a widow who wanted justice. So she begged him day and night to make her justice. The judge was unjust, but because of the insistence of that widow, he made her justice. And Jesus finishes the parable saying, which again is in Luke chapter 18, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Can you see? Persistence, perseverance were what Jesus wanted. So perseverance in prayer, seeking Jesus, and seeking God is very important. My only point here is this one. Don't be discouraged from seeking Jesus. Don't let your sins, failures, or circumstances rebuke you. Has your family rebuked you? Have you lost your friends because of your faith? Do you feel alone? Maybe. Don't be discouraged. Look at this poor man. He cried more than before because Jesus was worthy. Seeking Jesus was his only hope. Maybe your sins, Satan, or other remembers your past failures, your past sins. They do that in order that you could be silent. But dear brother, seek Jesus. Seek Jesus and cry more than before. Seek more than before. Don't be ashamed of making a sin for Jesus. But what did Jesus? And that leads us to our second point. The answer. Because this man was crying, and Jesus answered to this man. People were rebuking him. He was crying more. But Jesus stopped. It's what the text says. Jesus stopped. The cries of this man stopped Jesus. He was going to Jerusalem in order to die. He was going to do the most important mission in all history. But Jesus stopped. Because Jesus always has time for the repentant ones. He stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. That's amazing. Imagine the scene. There were a lot of people. And Luke tells us that was a crowd and that they were making a lot of noise. But Jesus wanted this man. So he commanded that he must be brought to him. The blind was crying to Jesus, but now he stopped crying because some men had said to him, "Jesus wants to see you." Can you imagine that? To receive an invitation from Jesus must be something wonderful, isn't it? Jesus wants to see you. And Jesus told us that you must go to him. Surely this was the most nervous moment of his whole life. So now he's in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Of course, Jesus knew his request, but he wanted to ask him. The compassionate Jesus will give him his request. And the blind man, of course, says, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And what was Jesus' answer? "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Christ has compassion for the poor ones, for those who are in need. Compassion is the word. Compassion is what Christ had for this blind man. When we read the Gospels, we know that Christ is very harsh with the proud, isn't it? But very, very tender with the ones who are poor in spirit, with those who recognize their sins. How are you today? This Christ who is in heaven is the same. He has the same compassion that he had when he was on the earth. He has not changed. Are you burdened by your sins? I don't know how you are today, but look at the text. It says that Christ said, "Brought him." Have you repented of your sins? Have you recognized your failures? Surely Christ says, "Brought him." What incredible words. Really? Is the King of the universe calling me? Has the Lord of the world stopped because of my cry? Yes. Because his heart is for the poor ones. Do you remember that episode of King David and Mephibosheth? David had made a covenant with Jonathan, his best friend. The covenant was this one. If one of them died, the other will take care of his descendants. So Jonathan died, but David no. And one of the descendants of Jonathan was Mephibosheth. This poor Mephibosheth was a guy who could not walk. But David one day said, brought him. The king called him. The king protected him. And the king wanted Mephibosheth to be with him, although Mephibosheth was unworthy. The king said, brought him. Jesus has said the same, dear brothers, with you. If Jesus said that, he must be brought. If the king has commanded, he must be obeyed. This was his compassion for you who are repented of your sins. This is the attitude of his heart for you who are poor in spirit. The king has commanded that you must be called to him. Jesus granted his request. And the means that Jesus prays is his faith. That's quite interesting. Faith is what Jesus wanted. Faith was what Jesus asked. Faith, dear brothers, is by faith. Although this man was blind, he saw more than all the peoples in Israel. He saw by faith to Jesus Christ. And that was enough for Jesus. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Have you faith? You could say to me, yes, I have a lot of faith. I move mountains by my faith. But I reply to you, faith in what? That's the issue. In me, my parents, in the politicians, in the church, in my pastor. That faith is not the faith that Jesus wants. Faith in him. Faith in the Jesus of the Gospels. That's true faith. The blind man has nothing to give. He could not give money. He could not give great works. He could not be a great preacher. But he could cry to Jesus. And he could believe. A kid can believe. A man without the studies can believe. And you and I, we can believe. Faith was enough for this blind man. I don't know well the situation of your heart today, but maybe you are one of the people who said, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. We encounter a lot of that statement, isn't it? But that statement was not true for this blind man. He could not see nothing. That statement does not function with him. With him, it functioned the otherwise. I believe him, then I see it. It's not I see, then I believe. Rather, I believe first, then I see him. He believed in Jesus. Therefore, he saw physically and spiritually to Jesus. Augustine, years later, said something very similar, reflecting on Scripture. He said, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. Surely all was true for this blind man, and also is true with us. For faith, we look to Jesus. For faith, we embrace him. I am not saying that Christianity is without understanding and reflection. Of course not. Brother, the only thing that I am saying is that you must not understand everything in order to believe on Jesus. That's the point of Christianity, to believe in Jesus. And he will open your eyes. And finally, let me go to my third and final point, which is the goal of the healing. What was the goal of the healing? Answer, it was for the glory of God. Look at the text. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when saw it, gave praise to God. So this blind man followed Jesus, glorifying God. He never saw so clearly. He was sure that Jesus was the Son of David, the true Messiah. And it's the same with us. The goal of our life is to follow Jesus, glorifying God. And it is not true that sometimes we receive a great mercy from Jesus and we forgive to give him all the glory, or we forgive to give him thanks. Do you remember that story that Jesus told about the 10 lepers? Jesus healed 10 men who have leprosy, but only one. Only one came back and thanked Jesus. Only one came back and gave glory to God. Here we have one way in which we could give glory to God, and it is to be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God has been so merciful to us, and we so sometimes have been so ungrateful to him. Maybe you are saying, Carlos, but I never had been in such a desperate state as this blind man. And you are right, maybe. But you were spiritually blind, isn't it? And has not God opened your eyes? Has not God given you sight? Is not that sufficient mercy to thank him today in all your life? But dear brothers, all our life is full of mercy. We don't realize the mercy we have in sitting here, listening or opening our Bibles. We don't realize the mercy it is to have a community. We don't realize the mercy it is that we still could breathe. So, if you are here, it is by mercy. Therefore, would you not thank him? So let us give glory to God, thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. So in conclusion, today we have seen three things. The cry of this blind man. This man was desperate. He cried a lot to get the attention of Jesus. Secondly, we have seen the answer of Jesus. He has moved to compassion and healed him from blindness. And finally, we have seen the goal of the healing, which is to give glory to God. Let me conclude saying that when we read the Gospels, we have to see the physically blindness, of course, but at the same time, we have to see the spiritually one. And the truth is that we also are blind. All of us here need one thing of Jesus, which is mercy. Mercy shall be our prayer. It was the man's prayer. Jesus, Son of David, has justice on me. No. Mercy. Mercy, dear brothers, is all our plea to God. You and I are not better than this man. We have broken the law of God. We have forgotten God so many times. We have ignored our duties toward God and to our neighbors. We all are sinners. We are not perfect. Our only plea to God is this one. Jesus, have mercy on me. Do you remember that parable when Jesus talks about the Pharisee and a tax collector? The Pharisee was praying to God and he was thanking God because he was not like the other man. He was a religious man. He was incredible. He was a pious man. But in contrast, the tax collector was a sinner and he knew it. He was a repentant man. His prayer was this one. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because mercy is what we need, brothers. As was with this blind man, is with us. Jesus wants our humbling faith. He wants your faith in him. He wants that you could trust him, just like a blind man could trust him. Our humbling trust, that's the point. We have begging, the preaching, asking us, what will you do in order to be free from your desperate state? We begin with that question, the sermon. Today again, Jesus is passing by. And I hope that today you could say to Jesus, as this blind man, Jesus, have mercy on me. And let me say to you that if you will come to Jesus with a humble heart, pleading mercy of your sins, he will stop. And he will say, brought him. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, because you have been so merciful to us. Thank you, Jesus, because you heal our broken hearts. And thanks, Holy Spirit, because you live in us. Please apply this word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.